So way back in July, believe it or not, we started planning this service. And there's a group of us, we got together and we sat down and we said, okay, where in the service are we going to do the installation? And Garth chimed in and said, well, you have to do that before the sermon, because you can't have an uninstalled preacher preaching in your church. What kind of message would that send? So if Garth asks you about the sermon the last couple weekends, just change the subject, right? I talked to him about the building project or something, right? So we are in the third week of our series, Imagine. And in this series, we've just been taking time to look at the words of Jesus. Words that Jesus gave us to help us understand what we are supposed to be all about as his church. Words that are recorded in Matthew 28. Passage that is commonly referred to as the Great Commission. And in it, Jesus says this to his church. He says, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, each week we've come back to this passage, and we've looked at it, and over the last couple weeks, by way of review, we said that this entire passage, it centers around one verb in the original language. What was that verb? Make, with confidence. What was that verb?
Make disciples.
Yes, Jesus is telling us here, your job as my church is to be all about making disciples. And then in the original language, there are three participles that hang on that verb that tell us how Jesus meant for us to go about making disciples as his church. The first one is baptizing, helping a person get their life connected to God in relationship, because in the first century, when you did that, you were baptized. The second one is teaching, helping a person to understand what it looks like to obey Jesus and grow to become like him. And then the third one is going, empowering people to serve Jesus in their church and in their world. So Jesus is saying, look, your job as my church is to make disciples, and you do that as you baptize and teach and go, or as we say here at Faith Covenant Church, as you connect, grow, and serve. So in each week of this series, we're taking one of these purposes, we're reminding ourselves about it, and then we're just taking time to imagine together, to dream together. What could happen here in our lives as individuals? What could happen in our church as a whole if every one of us in a fresh new way said, I'm in. I'm all in with Jesus. I'm all in with his purposes for the church. Because at the end of the day, the thing that will move us from imagining all that church could be to experiencing what God meant it to be is when his people stand up and say, I'm in. So as we continue this weekend, we're going to look at that third purpose of serving. And to help us just better wrap our brains around that third purpose, we're going to look at a short passage from the book of 1 Peter. Here's what Peter said about serving. He said, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Short little passage. All kinds of meat on the bone here that Peter leaves us with. And so what we're going to do is we're just going to take it just one section at a time and explore together some of what Peter would have us learn about what it means for us to serve. So as Peter begins, he simply starts out by saying, each of you. And I'd have you just stop right there and just ask yourself, who is the each of you that Peter's talking to? Who is the each of you that Peter's talking to? Now, when Peter originally wrote this, he wrote this letter to Christians. So really, his primary audience are people who are following Jesus. In fact, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're connected to God in relationship, what Peter is saying here is, hey, what I'm about to say next, this applies to you. Now, as he talks about serving, you can serve even if you're not a follower of Christ. The church should be a place where people, to some degree, they can belong even before they believe. But if you're a follower of Jesus, where Peter's going to go next, he's not letting you off the hook. So, for example, When I was a kid, growing up, there was a season in our lives where my parents, every Saturday morning, would get us up and take us roller skating. I am not so sure about roller rinks today. They seem kind of sketchy to me. You know, there's hardly anybody there if there's not a youth group there or a school group there. And then when there's not a youth group there and a school group there, I'm like, I don't know about what's going down there. In the late 70s, roller rinks were all the rage. I mean, it was the place to be. And so for a season, every Saturday morning, my parents would get us up and they would take us there and the place would be packed. I mean, it was so full that to manage traffic on the floor, they would have these special skates. Men only, women only, couple skate, you know, adult skate. And as a kid, I couldn't stand that. I couldn't stand it because I wanted to be out there skating. I didn't qualify for any of the special skates. So my favorite thing to hear, some guy with really big frizzy hair and big wide bottom, you know, pants, he'd get on the microphone. I would love to hear him say, can you guess? All skate, that's right. This one's an all skate. And then they play like the Star Wars theme song and they get the strobe light going. And I thought I was just the man, you know. And so, but I loved an all skate because I could get out there and I could skate. As Peter begins and he says, each of you, he is saying, look, if you are a follower of Jesus, this serving thing, this is an all skate. Put on your skates and get out onto the floor. Unfortunately, this is something that the church in America today, we struggle with. Now, I don't know what the stats are here at Faith, but the average church in America, 30% of the people serve, and 70% of the people just sit on the sidelines and watch other people skate. And Peter's saying here, if you're a follower of Jesus and that's the case for you, that's not okay. That's not God's design. That if you're a follower of Jesus and you're not out there skating, that more than likely there is something out of alignment in your life with God's truth here. And we've got to do something about that. So as Peter begins, he says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received. Now, in this next portion, there are a number of things that Peter's communicating. One of them is that you already have everything you need to serve. If you are a follower of Jesus, you already have everything you need to serve. See, when a person, when they commit their life to Christ, the Holy Spirit, God sends His Holy Spirit to live inside of them. And unlike some of your in-laws, the Holy Spirit's a good house guest. He is. He's not coming to your house empty-handed. He comes into your life bearing gifts. He has given you spiritual gifts and more. Some of you just thought of in-laws who you just like don't like seeing coming, right? Just keep that to yourselves, right? But the Holy Spirit, He comes, He gives you gifts, and He gives you the very gifts He wants you to have, the gifts you need to have. Like, I will hear people say things like, well, I don't know if I can serve because I'm not gifted like this person or I'm not gifted like that person. You don't need to be like somebody else. You just need to be you because you've received the gifts from the Holy Spirit He wants you to have and that you need to have. So you don't need to be gifted like Pastor Dennis to serve. A man has a mind like a steel trap, right? Like, I've been here for 3 weekends now, right? I am trying desperately to learn people's names. I am failing miserably. We've already reached the point where it's embarrassing for me to ask you your name because I've already asked you multiple times, but that's just where we're at. One time Dennis hears a name. One time, and it's in there forever. I'm just jealous. You don't need to be like Pastor Dennis to serve. Or you don't need to be like Pastor Laura, the pastor for our children's church. You don't need to be like Pastor Laura to serve with this great big heart that just loves people so well, right? Or you don't need to be like Pastor Eric, who works with our students to serve, with your inner middle schooler just alive and well inside of you, right? You know, you just hear the word duty and you just go there, you know? I mean, you don't have to be like Eric to serve. You don't even have to be like Superintendent Garth McGrath to serve, right? With flyaway hair just dripping with raw animal magnetism, all right? Right, Nancy? Aha, yeah. I asked the GLC, it's washed out because of the lights, to send me a picture of Garth looking smarmy. This is what I got. Now, is it just me? Is Garth Moore like Popeye the Sailor Man in this picture, right? I don't know. Somebody at the GLC thought, Popeye is smarmy, and this is what they did. Point is, you've got all the gifts God wants you to have to serve. You don't need to be like somebody else. You just be you. You just use the gifts God has given you. So according to Peter, each of us is called to serve. We're to use the gifts he has given us. And then he tells us, go ahead and bring that back up again, Johannes. He tells us who we are supposed to serve. Who is it we're supposed to serve?
God.
According to Peter, others. Use your gift, not to serve yourself. Use your gifts to serve others. To serve others. Now again, this is one that that in our culture, we struggle with this one. It is so easy to approach church with a mindset of, what am I going to get? As opposed to, what can I give? It's so easy for us to approach church, and in the back of our minds, we're asking questions. We don't, half the time, we don't realize we're thinking it. Very rarely will we articulate it. But in our minds, we're thinking, how is church going to meet my needs? What is the programming going to do for me and my marriage and my kids and my family? Somebody will leave a church, and you ask them why they left, and they'll say things like, I really just wasn't getting anything out of it. I just wasn't getting anything out of it. So often, it's so easy to approach church from the mindset of a consumer rather than the mindset of a contributor. Just think. You ever been upset with your church? You ever been frustrated with your church? And I won't make you raise your hand, but you ever been frustrated with your church because your church wasn't giving you what you wanted or wasn't giving it to you the way you wanted it? You weren't getting teaching the way you wanted. The programming wasn't the way you wanted. The worship wasn't being done the way you wanted. The facility wasn't being made available the way you wanted it. You ever been frustrated with your church? Because your church wasn't letting you consume what you wanted to consume or consume it the way you wanted to consume it. Gang, if we're frustrated with the church, we should be frustrated with the church, not because it's not allowing us to live like the consumers, the great American consumers we want to be. We should be frustrated with the church because the church isn't living into the mission that Jesus called it to. See, Jesus has more in mind than just consumers. Jesus didn't leave the glory of heaven to start a club for nice people. He didn't minister here on earth to start a social group. He did not go to the cross and endure crucifixion to start a self-gratifying society for the self-absorbed. Jesus came to build the church. He came to create a community of disciples that in turn makes other disciples. Jesus came to launch a movement against which the gates of hell would not be able to stand up against. That's what Jesus came for. That's what he had in mind for you and for me as his church. That's what Jesus called us to. He's called us to something more noble. Something higher, something more important, something more fulfilling, something longer lasting than simply being consumers. He's got something bigger in mind. Now, some of you will hear that, and understandably, you'll push back. And you go, but okay, sure, maybe that's the point, but aren't there times where it's okay to just receive? Aren't there times where it's okay to just consume? Aren't there times where I should be the exception to the rule that Peter's giving here? Yeah, sure there are. Sure they are. In fact, I'm watching one of those right now with my sister-in-law, Sarah. I alluded to this last weekend, and folks asked me about it this week, so I'll bring everybody up to speed. In July, my brother-in-law, so this would be my wife's sister's husband, my brother-in-law, he's a maintenance director at a Bible camp. He was in a room that was filled with leaked propane. A spark went off in that room. It ignited that fuel, and it set the room and it set him ablaze. He has been in the trauma burn center at U of M Hospital since July. If he's lucky, he will get out in about 6 months. Right now, Sarah is left to try and manage his care, try and figure out their insurance and their finances, try and figure out their home, and they've got five kids, ages 14 years old down to 5 months. I'm watching Sarah right now. She is pretty much exclusively the recipient of the service of the church. She's the exception to the rule right now. But here's the deal. She has an exceptional reason for why she's the exception to the rule. Are there times when we should be the exception to the rule? Absolutely. But we should have an exceptional reason for why we're the exception to the rule. It should be more than we just feel like consuming right now. And here's the thing. Like, I get life is crazy. I get life is busy. Believe me, I get the life is busy. My life has been nuts since I started here, right? I get, like, if you've got young kids, I get that season. I remember that when our kids were young. But here's the thing. Your kids, they don't need their every whim catered to. They don't need to be part of every sport and every club and every travel team and every group. What your kids really need, in all humility, what your kids really need is to see the example of their parents serving. They need to see you being part of the mission of the church through your example, through the way that you budget your family's time and calendar. They need to know that the sum total of their existence is not all about them. That will stay with them more than any team or club they're a part of. Or if you're here and you're retired, I get you worked hard to get where you are. But can I, again, in all humility, can I say to you, what a blessing it would be to your church if the cry of your heart was, I didn't work hard all my life so that I could quit serving. I worked hard all my life so that I could serve more. If you're here and you're retired, you have life experience and you have wisdom and you have availability that the church in a younger generation desperately needs. Or if you're here, you're a student, you're still in school. If somebody told you, if somehow you got it into your brain that like you're going to serve after you grow up, can I just respectfully say that's crazy? There is nothing biblical about that. Like if you have given your life to Christ, you are a member of the church right now. The Holy Spirit isn't waiting to give you spiritual gifts until you turn 18 and graduate from high school. It's not how it works. You can serve right here, right now. This is what Peter's calling us to. He says, each one of us, this is an all skate. We have the gifts that we need. And we're to use those gifts not to serve ourselves, but to serve others. And then as Peter continues, he tells us, he gives us one of the reasons for why this is so important. He says that when we use our gifts to serve others, we are acting as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now, steward's not a word that we use a lot in our culture today. So let me give you a simple definition. A steward is someone who manages another person's resources on their behalf. So if you've got stocks, bonds, mutual funds, and you've got a financial planner, they're your steward, right? Or if, give me somebody under 18. Give me a hand. Marco, almost. Come on. Under 18. Not under 18. Yes, I'm talking. No, not you, Josh. Behind you, Josh. Not under 18. He's like, I'm not moving. If I move, he's going to see me. I got somebody under 18. Nobody under 18 in the room? They're all in youth group. Well, that's no good. Let's pretend Mackenzie's under 18. She looks it, right? All right. So here's the deal. Mackenzie's under 18, right? Grammy is filthy rich. You never knew it, right? Grammy passes, breaks your heart. But Grammy likes you better than your parents. Pfft, that's not hard to figure out, right? Grammy likes you better than all the cousins. She leaves you all the money. But you're not 18 yet, so they put it all into trust, and your parents manage the money for you. They're your steward. So if your financial, Barry's financial planner goes out and buys a boat with Barry's money for himself, he's going to cry foul, right? If Mackenzie's parents go on vacation on her money without her, she's going to scream foul. That's bad stewardship. That's not okay, all right? Peter, this should make your brain hurt a little bit. Peter says that we are stewards of God's grace. We are managers of God's resources. In this specific instance, we are managers of the grace of God in other people's lives. That when we serve, we are acting as a conduit by which the grace of God is poured out of heaven and into the lives of other people. I love watching that happen. So for example, you've got folks right now serving back in Faith Kids. Let me tell you something. They are not providing childcare back there. They are actively influencing the eternity of our children. They are discipling the next generation. They are stewarding the grace of God. You have people, you have rock stars on the team like Ryan and Julie. Every weekend, they work one, worship one. So you will find them every weekend, usually sitting over there, worshiping during first service. And then in second service, you will find them in Faith Kids, working with our kids. And one of the reasons that they do that is they've got this idea in their heads that kids were important to Jesus, so they should be important to us. And they're going to live into that. Or you got folks like Marsha and from the Fellowship Commission and her team. Every weekend, they're working to make sure that there's a hospitable space over in what we call the Fellowship Hall so that people can connect relationally over a cup of coffee and a snack. Or you've got Krasasha and her greeter team. Every weekend, they're out there trying to make sure that folks feel welcome and they know where to go and what to do. Because here's the thing. It's so easy to like come to a church for a long time and just get comfortable and know how everything works and forget what it's like to come to a church for the first time, which is scary. It's a scary thing. Like, I'm a pastor, I'm a professional Christian, right? All right. First time I came to our church, way back in March, I was scared. I didn't know where to go and what to do and who to talk to, where the bathrooms were, you know, things that like you need to know. If you gotta go, you gotta go. And if you don't know where it's at, it's gonna be a problem, right? It's just these are facts of life, right? If you get an opportunity, if you're traveling, you're on vacation, you're traveling for work, go to a church you've never been to before. And don't go to that church if you know somebody who goes there. Go to a church where you don't know anyone there and pay attention to how it feels. I promise you, one of the last things you're going to want to do is look or feel foolish because you don't know where to go or where to take your kids or what to do or how things work. Krasasha and her team are making sure that doesn't happen for folks here. Whether you're talking about these folks or the people working right now with our students, which is why I can't find one in here, or you're talking about the folks who are providing meals and visits for people in our church who are hurting, or the guys who are back there pushing the buttons, making the technology work. These are people who are stewarding the grace of God. And I'm excited for these folks. Because you see, every one of us who is following Jesus, a day will come where we're going to stand before Jesus and we're going to give an account for how we stewarded the grace of God that he entrusted into our care. These people, they get to look forward to that day with a sense of anticipation. They're going to celebrate with Jesus how they managed his grace. They don't have to worry about trying to explain to Jesus why they were bad stewards. Poor managers. who withheld the grace of God because they chose to approach church from the mindset of a consumer. So imagine with me, if you would, what could happen right here in our church if every one of us, in a fresh new way, said, I'm in. I am in with Jesus in serving. What kind of impact could that have on us as individuals? What kind of impact could that have on our church? What kind of stories could that cause to be written here? Perhaps stories like David's. I first met David about 2.5 years ago. I met David at church. And David was one of those people who I kind of got the impression he wanted to be there. Like sometimes you can tell that with somebody who's at church for the first time. It was very clear with David. Because he just flat out told us, I don't want to be here. Like, my wife made me come. I don't like churches. I don't like Christians. I think their wasted space is full of hypocrites. I was like, all right, tell me how you really feel, David. Don't spare my feelings, right? So he just laid it all out there. Crazy thing was, he stayed for church. Like the whole service. Crazier still, he came back the next weekend. And he kept coming. I got to watch as God grabbed hold of David's heart. I got to watch as David surrendered his life to Christ. I got to listen as he shared his story and was baptized. And then my favorite part, I got to watch David strap on skates and get out there and start skating, because he wanted to make sure the people who were coming in after him had an opportunity to experience the same kind of grace that he himself experienced. Gang, imagine what that could look like for us. But before you do, let me say this. David's story, it unfolded the way that it did, in part because the whole church was coming together using their gifts and doing so in concert. You see, David shows up on a Sunday morning and somebody taking time to make sure the parking lot looked good. Because here's the deal, when somebody pulls into a lot, one of two messages are heard in their minds. And the message you want them to hear is, we expected you to come and we made sure things looked nice for you. He hit the front door. There were people there to greet him, to help him figure out where to go and where to take his kids. He hit the lobby, and there was coffee. He needed to get a coffee and hide behind it and feel a little less awkward about being new. There was signage to let him know where the worship space was, so he didn't have to try and figure it out. He didn't wind up back in, you know, kids' church because he's just following the crowd. You know, there was people at the door, making sure he's got information, helping him find a seat into the worship space. There were folks pushing buttons in the worship space, making sure that the technology was an enhancement to the service, not a distraction. There was a band helping him connect his heart to God's heart. There was a teacher trying to help him see God's truth and how it was applicable to his life. There was a next step for him to take, and people who were making sure those opportunities were there. When his wife, against his better judgment, filled out that crazy connection card, somebody followed up with him. All along the line, you have folks administering God's grace. And if at any point somebody had failed to do that, I'm telling you, it could have derailed the whole thing and his story would have ended very differently. I've watched it happen. If he shows up and nobody's there to greet him because they're too busy clicked up with people they already know, we're done before we even begin. Or if his kids have a lousy time in kids' church because there aren't enough volunteers to staff the programming well, he's not coming back. Or if he gets in the worship space and the pastor or the worship leader, they just mail one in, forget it. Anywhere along the way, you can derail what took place in his life. It's because the whole church is coming together and serving in concert. That story was written the way it was. What could happen here? What could happen If every one of us who is following Jesus said, you know what? It's an all skate. I'm getting out on the floor, and in some way, I'm skating. What if our church was the kind of church that defied the national statistics? What if we were the kind of place that was dominated by contributors? What if we were the kind of place, imagine being the kind of place where stories like David's, they're written all the time. We don't have to just imagine that. We can experience it. But that begins when we say, I'm in. I am in with serving. And so there are two kinds of people I want to talk to as we just wrap all this up. The first one is those of you who are serving already. I just want to say thank you. I've been here a short time. I've already seen folks who are up to their eyeballs serving in ministry. And I cannot, there are not words that I have that can express the kind of gratitude that I feel for the way that you are serving. At the same time, there's some of us, we're here. We're following Jesus. But we're not serving right now. And if that's you, I'd ask you to think about why. Do you have an exceptional reason for why you're the exception to the rule Peter's talking about? Or is it somehow along the way, you just got caught up in the consumer mindset? And if that's the case, how about we change that? After service, they should be outside the doors that we've been using as our main entrance. There should be some tables set up. And on those tables, there are a number of ministries where you can sign up for a first serve. Now, here's what we mean by first serve. You sign up at one of those ministries, you're agreeing to try a ministry out one time and work alongside of a veteran as you do so. See, oftentimes folks are afraid to sign up because they're afraid, like, if I sign up for a ministry, you're just going to throw me to the wolves. I'm going to be all on my own trying to figure this thing out. Or they're afraid, like, if I sign up, I'm signing in blood. I am never going to get out again, right? Alongside a veteran, one time. So if you sign up for a first serve in Faith Kids, and you get back there and you discover, I like this, you can explore serving more. If you get back there and you discover, I can't stand children, all right? It's one and done, all right? You're free. You did it one time. Now, one and done works both ways. So if you sign up for a first serve with the worship team and we hear you sing and you sound like a cat trapped in a blender, one and done, all right? This goes both ways. So if you're not serving, get on out there and serve, all right? Get on out there, sign up for a first serve. Be part of this with us. Would you stand with me, please? Before we wrap things up today in receiving our offering and closing in one last song, we want to create some space for you to interact with God. As we've talked about this idea that when we surrender our lives to Christ, He sends His Holy Spirit to live inside of us. If you've been coming around for a while, or maybe you're new, if God has been speaking to you about that, if you're in a place where you haven't yet done that and you need to, and you're ready to, I want to invite you today to do that right now. Before we just enter into our last few worship elements, we're going to pray together. And I'd invite you just to have a conversation with God where you acknowledge to Him that you've been doing life without Him, that you ask for His forgiveness, that you put your faith in His Son Jesus and surrender yourself to Him. If you're ready to do that today, if you know you need to do that, we're going to pray right now, and I just invite you to pray silently with me. Father, just again, thank you so much for the folks who are here, who are serving you faithfully. God, I just pray you would work in our hearts if we are not right now, that we would see that, we would see why, and we would take action. And God, just for some of us here today, As we hear about living life in relationship with you, having you live inside of us, we're at a place where we know we need to and we're ready to cross that line of faith. And so we just confess, God, we have gone our own way. We have done life without you. Forgive us, please. Forgive us, for we have sinned. Right now, we want to put our hope and our faith in Jesus. We want to surrender all of who we are to him. And we want to begin a journey where we follow him and grow to become like him. It's in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you prayed, made some kind of commitment to Christ today, we would love to know that. At the beginning of our service, June talked about a connection card that's inside of your bulletin. She said, hey, this is one of the best ways to begin to get connected here. On the back of that card is a box you can check off indicating you made a commitment or a recommitment to Christ. I'd encourage you to fill that out. I would love to hear what God is doing in your life. I'd love to encourage you in that. And when we receive our offering, you just throw that into the plate. But as we receive our offering today, Ron and his team, they're going to be playing a hymn for us. It's actually hymn number 429 in the hymnals in the pews. And this is a hymn that was written to celebrate a group of seminarians who are getting ready to graduate, getting ready to go out and serve. Here's what the author of this hymn wrote. He said, we've been spending days and days in preparation here at seminary. Now the day of march has come. And we must go out and follow the leadership of the King of Kings. We must go out to conquer the world under his banner. On that graduation day, that group of seminarians sang this hymn. And for them, it was their way of saying, I'm in. I am in with Jesus when it comes to serving. And so as this song is being played, as we receive our offering, you're free to do a number of things. You can sit quietly. You can reflect on what we've talked about in the message. Again, it's number 429. You can reflect on the lyrics of the hymn, or if you want to, you can even sing along with them as they sing. So we just want to invite the ushers to come forward at this time.